So I had the joy of this first week of Easter this year to spend a good amount of my time doing something that I call uncling. So in case that term is not familiar to you, I refer to uncling whenever I have a chance to watch either of Katie or my nephews, Blake and Fletcher, or I get to spend time with Avery and Ellie. It's a grand old time. And in case you might need a refresher on kids, which I imagine most of you do not, they have this habit of this action that tends to come up whenever you're in conversation with them, where they ask you questions. And then you have an opportunity to ask them questions as you spend more and more time with them. It almost forms a call and response, if you will, in terms of the questions as we take turns asking one another. My questions are more of the lines are, what are you doing? What do you got there? What do you mean? And what do you need? They, in response, tend to be more consistent. Why? 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 You know, on one hand, I maybe should have known, because I believe I was that child when I was younger. That's probably how I ended up here. But this concept of asking questions and trying to figure out the world around us. It is through these questions that we're able to better understand one another. And even when those questions seem to put us to the peak of our patience, seem to be almost maddening, anytime you get to that point and you just try to tell a child, just listen because I told you to, you know what the response typically is? Why? Can I get an amen? Preach. This is the fact that I feel for Thomas this morning, or our artist who may formerly be known as Doubting Thomas, and feel that he kind of gets a bad rap. In this story, it'd be easy to look at it and glean out a, just don't do that, Thomas. Just don't ask questions. It'll be okay. Just do whatever God tells you to do. Friends, if there is nothing inherent about our nature as human beings, that is not a sufficient answer for us. We need to be able to understand that when we look at this story, if we look at it that way and just think that we are being told just to listen and do what we're told, that's kind of like a fast food theology. The kind of fast food that doesn't really nurture us or kids in any kind of way, shape, or form. See, it's almost ironic that we oversimplify this story to scold the person who asked the questions and say why he should not do that, when the very teacher that he was questioning was the one whose entire ministry was built on questions. And so this morning, like my nephews, and as I refer to them, my goddaughters, embraced their questions, and I had an opportunity to embrace many questions over the course of my time uncling, we too this morning will embrace some questions to try to seek a better understanding of what is going on with Thomas. So question number one, what were they doing? You see, we don't know what Thomas was doing that first night, though it might be a good opportunity for a PSA on why you should not skip church on any given week. We do know that the other 10 disciples were there, 12 minus Judas and Thomas. We know what they were doing. They were avoiding everyone. They literally locked themselves in their room. Even though hours before they had heard this good news that Jesus is alive from Mary herself, they still find themselves behind locked doors, not talking to anyone else, not sharing that news with anyone else. And so we know that unlike the story sometimes goes, it is not just Thomas that was doubting in this period. It is also all of the disciples. They all needed to see Jesus to believe what was happening. And so what did they have there in that room? You see, that good news that Mary shared with the disciples, honestly to them, probably did not seem so good. I take a quick pause to remember something. A man has come back from the dead. That doesn't just happen. Ever. Ever. And so to think that the potential answers that they are trying to glean from this for why Jesus would have come back is a lot scarier for a grief-stricken community that would have probably assumed if Jesus was coming back from the dead, if Jesus truly was resurrected, he wasn't going to be very happy. This wasn't going to be a good thing, that Jesus was going to somehow be displeased with them for the ways they had handled their relationship with Jesus through this time. that Jesus would be displeased with the way everyone had seemed to act through all of this. And so in many ways, the disciples had this fear of seeing the answers to their questions, of being able to understand what exactly was happening. The answer to the question of, what do you mean Jesus is back? What do you mean? See, sometimes when we ask the questions, we fear the answers that we're going to receive. That's why people tell you not to ask questions you don't want the answers to. What does it mean for us? What does it mean for all of us? This fear that is intensified when we think the answers to those questions will alter the course of our lives, will change the very story, change the very world that we see ourselves in. See, it is amid that kind of mental state that the disciples found themselves behind those locked doors. What would the authorities think about this, about them? What would everyone else think about them if they were to leave this locked room? What would Jesus think? That's why it's so powerful in this story that in the midst of that fear, in the midst of that tension, in the midst of that heartache, Jesus appears twice in this story. Twice he says, "Peace be with you." Not anger, not frustration, not disappointment, not just, "What are you doing here?" But peace be with you. And twice Jesus points out the scars on his hands, not to shame them, but to reveal the identity of who Christ is. That this is something that they needed to see. That because they needed to see, he wanted them to see. See, in the midst of this imperfect community, this group of folks who have not done what they should have done in many ways, that Jesus offers them an opportunity to participate in the resurrection, to move from knowing about it to being a part of it. So what is it that you need? What do you need? The disciples didn't accept this offer out of their own awesomeness. We can put that out there. So it's not a matter of being great or being this wonderful person. And sometimes that's where we find Thomas being singled out. Be more like these guys over here. Just whatever you do, don't be like him. Don't ask questions. Don't do that. It's because in that example, we find ourselves trying to make this image of what a good follower looks like, of what a good follower is supposed to be like, how they're supposed to carry themselves, how we're supposed to picture them on either Sunday morning or any morning, or any afternoon, or any evening of the week. We forget that God does not call us to be good at what we do. God calls us to give what we have. God does not call us to be good at what we do, but to give what we have. All of these disciples needed to see Christ to believe. And so Christ showed up. And all they needed to do from there was just be open enough to be willing to participate in that resurrection. That's the significance of when Jesus breathes the Holy Spirit. That Jesus wasn't just back. It wasn't, "Hey, look at me, look at what I have done. Now you can idolize that." It is literally breathing into them this spirit of participation. The spirit of willing to be able to share and invite others. To share with others the love that God has for them, and to include in that sharing the ways they care, the ways they think, the ways they try, the way they just participate enough to be even able to ask the questions in the first place. For Thomas, this would lead to something that many of us may understand, is, but why? Why would Jesus do that? Why would God call us to just do this thing that doesn't seem like an answer, that it seems like some way to swim through what's going on? It's amazing when we think about that Thomas had to wait a week before Jesus came back. It wasn't an immediate thing. It was almost church the next Sunday. So again, another reason not to skip church, if we're going to throw that PSA out there. But this why that sometimes leads us to just be so frustrated and to be, it's so maddening to just keep asking why did something happen? And it is in that very asking, that very willingness that Thomas was able to say, why? I won't believe this until I literally, the Greek is thrust my hand into the side of Jesus. Until I have that, why would I believe this ridiculous news? It is not very caring to ask those questions that we find that Thomas wants to be part of a story greater than himself. That these disciples want an opportunity to be bigger, to be part of this bigger narrative than just what they have experienced so far. You see, that matters for us too. When we think about why. Why are we here the week after Easter? Why are we here again? Why aren't we just satisfied with hearing that Jesus was resurrected? It's because that's not the end of the story. That story that continues to intersect with ours, where we hear that it's not just about doing what we're told to do, but the fact that we are invited to meet a God that will find us where we are, that is not bothered by the idea of us needing to thrust our hand to believe, that wants to meet our every need and show us that there is more to this story. The God that does not ask us to be perfect in our actions, does not ask us to always get it or always have the answers, but tells us to be open to participating in this new life, in this resurrection with God. See, as we begin our series this week on following Christ and what it means to follow Him, we have to start just naming where we are when we start to follow. Naming that we are picking up this story after having had this vast celebration of new hope and resurrection and realizing, why does this matter to me? Why should I keep following? It's because in that resurrection, the resurrection that we believe in, that we root our hope for this world in, is what helps us wake up every morning and go out to where we see people who get hurt, to where we see people who are sick or abused or neglected or suffering in some way, and understand that God is not going to get mad at us if we ask, why is this happening? Because those very questions that show that we want something more for this world gives us a taste of the kind of yearning God has for us and what God wants for us in this world. See, I most assuredly did not have all the answers this week while I uncled. But the funny thing is, I didn't need to have all the answers. Just being open to the idea of being around Avery and Blake and Ellie and Fletcher gave me this chance to grow just a little bit closer to them. To grow in some ways that I or they probably did not believe could happen. But that's the same kind of invitation we have with God each and every morning. To be willing to spend the time to believe, to trust enough, to ask the questions that help us to get to know God better, that help us to grow just a little bit more in our walks. When Jesus says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe, he's not just trying to shame Thomas for asking questions. No, that would not be doing justice. What Jesus is saying is, those who do not have the answers yet trust in this greater story, blessed are they. Blessed are those who know they are not perfect, but are yet willing to show up and to participate. Blessed are those who understand that so often we get caught up in how we're supposed to look, how we're supposed to act, how we are supposed to be this image of something that we're not, when all God calls us to do is to show up and be the people that He made us to be. Friends, our very first action as we look to follow Christ is to bring our questions, to bring who we are, so that we can continue to see the way that God will work with us. Continue to see the way, the fact that this resurrection is not just something we hear about once a year. This resurrection is an opportunity for us to participate, to lay down our fears, and to bring each and every question that we have. And that, my friends, is good news.